Welcome to The Big Day, the ultimate life coaching resource for all eight areas of your life. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Good morning, DFW Metroplex, and good morning, America. It's a beautiful day here at the studio in Victory Plaza in Dallas. My name is Heather Lester. I'm the creative director for The Big Day, and I'll be your host for the show today. Just so you know, if you'd like more information about The Big Day or the eight areas of your life or our topic for this show, then please visit our website. I also encourage you to join our mailing list so you get notified whenever we have new blog posts, which are written specifically to help you increase your level of success and fulfillment of life. That's definitely not something you'd want to miss out on. You'll also find links that will take you directly to our book, The Big Day. It's definitely one of the best personal development books on the market and covers more of the content we'll be talking about today. So again, that's readyforthebigday.com. Go ahead and check it out. Sign up for the mailing list. You'll also get our free goal planner once we release that in the summer, and that'll be free. So, also joining me in the studio today is a very special guest, an entrepreneur who's full of memorable stories that will definitely make you laugh and dynamic insight that has always inspired me to change my life, and I'm sure it will do the same for you. And her name is Mary Forsyth. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, good morning, Heather. It's really great to be here, and I already love it already as I was walking in the studio and just the atmosphere of the things that Robert's even put up in the hallways and his heart for leadership. I'm really looking forward to this interview today and inspiring people to be all that they could be, because I know that that's Robert's heart.
It definitely is. It's definitely a pleasure to have you here. And you've actually done more radio shows outside of America than inside, right?
Well, it's true. I haven't done that many radio interviews in America. I've had the privilege of doing some in South America and in Asia. I know one time I did a radio interview in Singapore, and they translated it in Mandarin Chinese and so that it could go on ham radios all over China. So that was really cool.
That's incredible. And there's definitely some stories there. If we can get to it, maybe we can go there.
Great.
So great to have you on the show today. I'm definitely excited about our topic. For all the listeners out there who don't know us, The Big Day is all about the ultimate preparation for your future. Our passion is to equip you to be the most physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually successful leader you can be. Definitely all of four of those points are important to make the most of The Big Day. So we offer tools, principles, and strategies to not only win in the game of life, but to win big. And those are our key words, win big. So our goal is to turn the average day into the big day for opportunity and a change for the best. So actually, one of the ways that we do that is with one of our core concepts, which is life is 100% natural and 100% spiritual. How can that be? Well, they're actually two overlapping realities that were always meant to operate together. And I'm actually a photographer on the side, so I can give you an example from photography. If you've ever tried to take a picture, and ask yourself this, have you ever tried to take a picture when the sun is shining, but you don't want to take a picture of the sun, you wanted to take a picture of like maybe a room that you're in and like the view out the window or something, but it's like you either get the room or you get the view. It's hard to get both because the sun is so bright shining in. Or if you're trying to take a picture of a person, it's like either the sun is really bright or the person's really dark or vice versa. Well, what we do in photography, it's called HDR, high dynamic range. You actually take several images of that same photo and you expose it for the light, and you also properly expose it for the dark. And then you bring those two photos on top of one another, and you actually get the best of both worlds. You can see out the window, you can see the room, or you can see the person, and you can also see the sun. So in a way, that's kind of how the natural and the spiritual work together. They're overlapping realities that give you the high dynamic range of life so that you can actually have the highest exposure in life and reach your highest potential. And you know, the natural and the spiritual are so important that one without the other actually significantly limits your capacity and potential to win big in life. And you'll actually end up experiencing less fulfillment, enjoyment, and purpose than you could have. So how do you make the most of both worlds? Well, that's exactly what we'll be talking about today. And that brings us to our theme for today, which is combining the natural and the spiritual. And we've already started talking about this, Mary, and have started talking about what that actually means. And I know that you had, you know, we were talking about the eight areas of your life, and you're like, that's one of the main points of bringing the natural and the spirit together.
Yeah, that's true, Heather. And I love it that this program and Robert's outreach and his training approach, excuse me, all four areas, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. And so I know today we're focused on the spiritual. And, you know, it's interesting because I have had the privilege of traveling quite a bit. I've, you know, not that that's a big star, but I have gone to about 30, 35 nations. And America is one of the primary nations that you still have to convince people that there's a spiritual dynamic that's impacting their everyday life. In almost every other country, in every other culture, there's already that knowledge and there's already that reality that exists. So I'm so thankful today that we're talking about the spiritual, because I really think people are being awakened to the fact that there is a spiritual dynamic that can either hinder or promote their success in their everyday life. So I'm really glad we're talking about this subject today.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you bring that up too, because combining the natural and the spiritual, just to kind of set us up for our show today, I wanted to read a bit of our book from chapter 3, which is called The Natural and the Spiritual. So it's a good place to start. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this and then we'll kind of get started. And so this is the beginning of chapter 3. It says, every area of your life has two forces working and operating simultaneously, the natural force and the spiritual force. Both forces are like gravity, a natural force, which operates invisibly. Both forces are also no respecter of persons. They affect all of us. The natural and the spiritual were never meant to be separated. In fact, life is 100% natural and 100% spiritual. They can operate independently, but were designed to function together to achieve the maximum results of a successful life. So that's that quote. And I love that, because it's the natural and the spiritual operating together that gives you the maximum results. And like you said, in America, we just have kind of left out like a whole dimension. Mm-hmm. And we've really kind of capped our own potential and success and fulfillment in life. Would you agree?
I do agree, and I think there is an ability, and as we mature and gain an understanding, we can have the ability to live in both worlds. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make you goofy or kind of weird or make you do. It just helps you to consider that there could be a spiritual dynamic at play here, mm-hmm. whether you're having a difficulty or you're having an obstacle, whether it be in business or in a relationship or even in your finances, there can actually be a spiritual dynamic at play. Like you said, just like gravity, there are universal laws that God created that are impacting your everyday life. And so a lot of those have a spiritual dynamic. And if we're unaware, they're going to be impacting us in a way that we feel like we don't have any control.
So you're saying that I could be at my job and things could be going haywire, and it could be a spiritual thing that's going on. Or in a relationship, something's going on, it could be a spiritual thing going on and not just something that's in the natural.
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the things I like to remind people is there's two universal laws, and we hear these in different schools of thought, but from a biblical worldview, it's the universal laws of what I call the harvest. And one of those laws is you reap what you sow, but you don't just reap what you sow, you reap more than what you sow. That's the law of multiplication. So the first law, if you will, and this is impacting us whether we know it or not. If I'm sowing a lot of kindness and I'm just kind to everyone around me, it's amazing how many doors I get open for me when I go to Starbucks. So, you know, and so that might be minor.
It's a good thing to try, you guys.
That's exactly a good try, and a caramel latte.
Yeah.
But if you're going to reap what you, but you don't just reap what you sow, you reap more than what you sow. The old, it's a very easy parable to think of. You sow one kernel of corn and you reap a whole head of corn, which could have hundreds of kernels in it. And I think God has given us many examples in nature that tell us about the laws that he has that impact our everyday lives. I don't plant corn, but I am impacted by the laws that govern corn in my everyday life, whether it be kindness. And I think that's, you know, that goes back to your, I know you all had a great counselor on. I think it was last week. You can go check that out on the website and get to any recordings from past interviews. But emotionally, if we're sowing negativity and we are critical and, you know, just negative in any way, we will reap that. And that only not only has emotional impact, it has physical impact. And right. There's many, many resources out there that combine emotional and physical health.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, speaking of emotional and physical health, I mean, that's definitely part of the natural. And what you're sowing into the natural, you can even reap in the spirit. So speaking of the natural, let's talk about talking point number one. The natural force is all about your will. You know, sometimes we wonder, what is the natural force? Well, it's not just, you know, the physical world that we live in. The natural force also includes your will, which means that you have a free will when it comes to making choices. You choose your commitments, your goals, your disciplines, your attitudes, your level of integrity, mindsets, all of that. So those are all parts of the natural force, as well as the eight areas of your life. And actually, I think that we talk about that a lot in the Big Day. We introduce you to the eight areas of your life. That's also on the website, readyforthebigday.com. And, you know, the natural force has an impact in everyday life because what you choose to do will impact your day. I mean, you can choose to make today your big day or not, and that is a part of the natural. So, you know, Mary, I know that you have a long story and, you know, have an amazing background, but you actually were sowing a lot into the natural, right? Mm-hmm. And became quite a successful business person. Tell us a little bit about that.
excuse me. Yeah, I was my first business was when I was six. So I think I came out of the womb as an entrepreneur. So yeah. I was a very successful lemonade entrepreneur, CEO, and I had a great marketing strategy because as cars were coming by, if they didn't slow down, I would jump out in the road, hold my hand up and stop. I had 100% sales.
100%
sales. Well, hey. Yeah. So, I mean, that was really good.
Don't try this at home, folks.
No. Excuse me, particularly with road rage today.
Yeah.
But by the time I was 13, I'd saved $100 and I took it to my grandmother and asked her to invest in the stock market.
Wow.
So I don't even know where all that came from. But as you can imagine, my favorite game when I was a child was Monopoly. So, but, you know, I graduated from pharmacy school, owned a couple of businesses in Kentucky, moved to Dallas, Texas, had a business in the McKinney Avenue, Uptown area, actually ended up with about seven businesses.
Wow.
There. And so really loved all that. But I didn't have the walk with God that I needed. I had a religious encounter with God, but I didn't have a really relational walk with God to help me in my everyday life. But one of the things that I've learned about the will is the will is always in alignment with something.
Yeah.
And so the will is always in alignment with a positive outcome or a negative outcome. And you have control over your will, but your will, because of there is a spiritual battle. We have to acknowledge that. And the will is always wanting to be under siege, if I could say that, by the enemy to be aligned with negativity and darkness, because your will has a target. So, for example, in our eight areas in our life, I've got a will in the arena of health. Mm-hmm. If I choose, which your will is basically your chooser.
Yes.
You want to know what your will is? Your will is your chooser.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can talk about this later. I don't think this program's for my, you know, to really talk about my testimony. But I was incarcerated for 5 years over some government charges that had to do with a government program when I was dispensing an antiviral for HIV patients back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I was incarcerated, a lot of my choosing was done for me. So because I couldn't choose what I ate, I couldn't choose what I wore, I couldn't choose what time I turned the lights out in the cell. So when I came out of prison, I really got an understanding of what your will was because I was so aware mine was broken.
Yeah.
So even when I'd go to a restaurant and my family would be like, what do you want to eat? I'm like, I don't know because I haven't chosen that in a long time. Well, the opposite is true. So many times we've gotten in a habit of choosing something that we forgot to assess the alignment and the target that it's hitting. And God wants to help us to realign our will so that we can be successful in every area of our life. And he will highlight one of these eight areas. He might be highlighting right now in your life family and friends.
Yeah.
And so you might have your will in a habit of talking a certain way or treating someone a certain way or
behaving,
even behaving.
Thinking, expecting.
And let me say this, even teasing. Mm. Can I tell you, a lot of people use humor to harm. And so, because we're conditioned to that. We see it in the world, and we get a lot of our relational molding and patterning from the world, from television, and all that input. And it's really time for us to be aware of the target of our will in all of these eight areas that Robert talks about, mm-hmm. to make sure that our target is goodness and light.
Yeah, that's really good, Mariana. It would definitely be great to get more of your story. So right now we're going to take a commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the spiritual force and how to combine the natural and the spiritual. Stay tuned.
If you are looking for a book that makes you think about things in a different way, or one that inspires you to make changes in your everyday life, whether in your faith or how you increase your level of success in business, The Big Day is a book that covers it all. Combining both natural and spiritual principles, best-selling author Robert W. Whipple has gathered resources from over 35 years of personal and business experience. The Big Day is packed with self-help tips, tools, concepts, and strategies that will revolutionize the way you see yourself and your life. Don't limit yourself or hinder your potential. It's time to step out as the successful leader that you were meant to be. Order your copy of The Big Day on Amazon today.
Welcome back to The Big Day. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Heather. I'm creative director for The Big Day, and in the studio, I have Mary Forsyth. We're talking about combining the natural and the spiritual. We were actually just talking a lot about the natural and how that involves our will and our choice, our free will to choose, and how our will is really our chooser, as you said. But what about the spiritual? What is exactly the spiritual force? And in the Big Day book, we actually talk about that. And the spiritual force is all about God's involvement in your life. It's the God factor.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you believe in him or not, he's actually still involved. And that's one of my favorite attributes about God is that, you know, just the unconditional love. I mean, he's involved whether or not you want it or like it. But the whole thing is, and this is what I would really want to tell everybody, is that, yes, he's involved. But because of our skewed misperceptions of who he is, it's actually a good thing that he's involved as much as he is, because his goal is always heart connection with us. And I think that that's an important paradigm to have when you're talking about the spiritual force and the spiritual dimension of life. And the God factor is that his goal is always connection with you. It's never to harm or to hurt or whatever. It's actually to bring you into a higher level of success or a greater quality of life. And so involving God in our everyday lives and decisions is actually what turns an average day into the Big Day. And, you know, we actually talked about that a lot in the Big Day as well in section two, where a big factor of making today the Big Day is, for example, walking in the wisdom of God, being led by his Spirit, and developing your faith. And so these are just parts of the natural force. And so, Mary, I kind of want to ask you, you know, like you mentioned that you were incarcerated mm-hmm. for 5 years, and, you know, not everybody has that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, true. But so tell me, how was God actually involved when you were in that place?
Yeah, I first want to say that God didn't send me to prison. In fact, he hated it that I was there. You know, my choices got me there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that you talked about wisdom. And I know Robert does a great job of that in his book and even on his website with his resources, pointing people to wisdom.
Yeah.
Because you can be so deceived, which I was, before I went to prison. I thought, because I was a successful, by world standards, I was a very successful businesswoman as far as possessions, portfolio, stocks, influence, and a lot of the worldly measurements of success. I had all those. So I thought I was pretty wise and had it going on. And so when I ended up in prison and after the Lord really met me in a very special way in the first month that I was incarcerated, I started reading Proverbs. I was so shocked. I mean, all of a sudden I realized I was a fool.
Wow.
So the word of God was like a mirror going, you know, Mary, it's kind of like when you go to a mall and you go into one of those malls and you look at the map and you see the pins that says you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I was like arguing with God going, oh no, I'm not there. No, I'm not a fool. I'm a wise person. And God kept saying, no, Mary, you're here. You're here. You know, and really the first step of freedom is being honest where you are.
Yeah.
And you can only be honest where you are when God shows you.
Yeah.
So, and also, Heather, let me say this. I was in prison before I went to prison. So I was already in a prison of negativity, a low self-worth. I had a distorted image of God. I was striving. I was driven. I was trying to get my self-worth from accomplishments. And if you're on that hamster wheel, it's never going to end because you can never get enough of the world's possessions. You know, this was the journey Solomon was on.
Yeah.
You know, this, that, and the other. It's all vanity. It's all vanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a heart to see business men and women, young entrepreneurs, established businessmen and women, to speak to them and to really say it's really time for us to allow the Lord to come in and make sure that we are working in rest. And I know that's a high value in Robert's materials and in
one
his
of the
mentoring.
Eight areas is definitely rest.
And you can do that. Rest is not the lack of movement or the lack of motion or even the lack of work, but it's doing it from a sense of truth, self-worth, which only comes from God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I know earlier you said it's so true. There's so many of us that have a distorted image of God, and the Holy Spirit is cleaning that up.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I know you know pretty well, and if somebody came up and told me, oh, Heather's going to go out this afternoon and rob a bank, I would go, well, no, she's not. How could I be so sure you're not going to rob a bank?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because I know your nature and character.
Right.
And so with God, many times we've blamed him for things and we've attributed a characteristic, or we've thought his nature was a certain way that it's not. And that impacts us.
So do you think that if we leave out the spiritual dimension of life, that we could really have a misconception about God's character or his nature?
We can definitely have a misconception of who God is and who we are.
Yeah,
and also how the spiritual world is impacting our everyday life. It's not one or the other. You know, back in the day, and I'm no biblical scholar or historian, but the Greeks thought they were very Gnostic, which means knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, unfortunately, North America is in this state of being where we think if we know it in our head, then we've arrived. But when you combine the spiritual, there's really an essence of revelation, which goes beyond knowledge, which when you have knowledge and revelation, then you have the fullness, the full understanding over a matter.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that goes back to, you know, like you said, alignments. And that's our number one cornerstone is your alignments. You know, where is your will aligned? And, you know, also what you were saying earlier when you were incarcerated and, you know, it wasn't just reading Proverbs, right? I mean, God broke in another way. Tell us about that.
Well, I was when I first got sentenced and went to prison, I really thought I was going to be out in about 30 days because the president of the United States had promised to pardon me, the president that was leaving office. And that didn't happen. So he left office. The other president was sworn
no,
in.
Don't
yeah,
leave me behind.
son. And so when I found that out, I really realized that I was going to literally be incarcerated for 5 years. And then about 2 weeks after that, a man that I'd never met before came into the prison to visit me. He prayed for me, and God touched me in a miraculous way.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can tell you, it's like scales fell off. Like all of a sudden I was...
The blinders came off,
Heather, as well as I felt like I could access my chooser. It's almost like I was in such a prison before I was in prison, And my will was on autopilot to do negative things, hurtful things that I couldn't get off. And then all of a sudden I was awakened and I could find my chooser.
And you chose something different.
And in prison, I began to choose something different, which was, for one thing, I began to align my life, even in prison, to the word, because by the time I got to prison, I'd tried everything. I'd tried to align my life and find success in education and finances and investments and possessions and even in some occult activities, and none of that worked.
Yeah.
So I was so desperate that I told the Lord, if you'll show me how to live out of this book, which was the Bible, I'll do it even in a place like this.
That's amazing.
And so I began to read the word, and when it said to do something, I chose with my chooser to do it. For example, it said, honor those in authority over you. Well, I'd never honored anybody except myself.
Like, I'm the authority.
I'm like, wait a minute, I'm running this show. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, I wanted a knife to cut that one out of the Bible to pretend it wasn't there. But they don't give prisoners knives, so that didn't work. Right. So when I read that, I thought, I've got to do this.
Yeah.
And so even though it was hard, it was so foreign to me, that because I had so aligned myself in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I wouldn't honor anything. I wouldn't honor a stop sign. I didn't honor hardly anything in authority. And so now I was in a position not only to have to honor. And one of the primary things that the Lord showed me about this, he goes, Mary, it's not just what you're doing. When the guards tell you to do something, it's not just what you're doing, but you need to honor them in your heart.
Yeah.
So he wanted a
sincerity.
Heart change, yes,
mm-hmm.
and not just behavioral change, because really when you allow God to begin to change your heart, that equals true transformation, worm to butterfly,
yeah.
as opposed to just a behavioral change, which you maintain in your own strength, and it'll eventually fade.
And I think that's the difference between behavior management and transformational results.
Absolutely.
You know, I love that. And honestly, it sounds, and you'd probably agree, but it sounds like you came out of prison before you came out of prison.
Yes, I began to. I'm still coming out, you know, 20 years later, because one of my favorite verses is Philippians 1:6 that says, he who began a good work will complete it up until the day of Jesus Christ. So the minute we quit experiencing transformation, then we've put our own limit on our own lives, because there's always more. There's more joy. There's more kindness. There's more abundance. There's in God and in the kingdom of God, it never ends on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
And so the only limitations that we have are self-imposed.
And so that brings us actually to our next talking point of, where does the natural and the spiritual meet? You know, how do you combine them? And I think that your story has a great example of that, because there's a guy somewhere who actually heard something from God to say, hey, come and pray for Mary. And he did. I mean, he stepped out. He walked into the prison, you know, and he spoke to you. And that opened a door for you, for God to begin to come and speak to you personally. And that was really the spiritual breaking into the natural and kind of making a supernatural experience for you that really changed your life. And that's where, you know, when the spiritual breaks into the natural, that's the point where you begin to see change that doesn't just last a day or a week or whatever, but it really lasts a lifetime and for eternity. Because when God breaks in, it's eternal. You know, it's always like when you get a victory, it's yours.
Yeah, it's true. Those are building blocks in our lives to where we're not the same. And it's so true. And I think you ask where the natural and supernatural meet. Well, they meet all the time.
Yes.
It's our awareness that's changing.
Exactly.
It's not like it's at that moment when that guy came. That happens all the time, because like you started the interview with, it's 100% spirit. It's 100% natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's my awareness that has to increase. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life.
Exactly. And I think that's what spiritual success is. The more aware we are of God's involvement, the more aware we are of the spiritual force and his ministry at work, him at work in our lives, I think that we're going to be spiritually successful.
I agree with that, because we know how to kind of be spiritual with our Bibles or with our Jesus time.
Quote unquote spiritual.
Yeah, spiritual. And that's our, but we can't categorize it. And there's too many decisions that we need to make in our businesses and in our families with our children that I can't look it up in Romans. I can't even look it up in Proverbs. And so how do I hear God And those moments are when the quote-unquote spirit invades the natural and it becomes much more of a reality.
That's good. You know, and I think that one of the basic ways and most crucial ways that the spirit will actually break into your natural in your own life is, like you said, when you're hearing God. And I think God is at work whether or not we hear him. But I think that we become it's a lot more fun, let's say, if nothing else, a lot more fun when we're actually aware of God's involvement and we're partnering with him, as opposed to things just going on because he's still at work, because he still loves us and he's still, you know, pursuing heart connection with us. But the more we're aware of this, you know, it's like it's way more fun to be like, oh, God, what are you doing? Like, what are you up to today? Like, what are you doing in my life? You know, and I want to go here and I want to go there. It's going to be a lot more fun than it would have otherwise been.
And right? that's a reality that's hitting, I think, a lot of people is, oh my gosh, God's fun. You know, it's just not all work, you know, and it's so true. It brings, you know, John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But part B says, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And abundant life is intimacy with God. Amen. And so that's why I think the Holy Spirit is invading in every heart on every continent and every nation to heal hearts so that they can intimately connect with God's heart. And we have a lot of I still have a lot of limitations, but my intimacy level with God, which is not just me serving God, but actually connecting with God in a life-giving way is increasing because I'm getting more whole. I'm resting well. I'm increasing in my health. I'm focused on the right things in my will, and I'm recognizing God in my everyday life, in the normal things.
That's good. Yeah.
And that's what, you know, it's kind of like I had to make a decision. I was helping an elderly woman with her house, and I had to make a decision on which floor guy to use, and one was a little bit more expensive, and I just didn't know what to do, and I couldn't look that up in the Bible, and so I couldn't look to see which vendor to use. I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, this huge billboard jumps out. How does a billboard jump? You know how when you're reading your Bible, sometimes that 12 font just jumps into a 24 font. And you're going, wait a minute. Well, that's just the Lord emphasizing something in the Bible. But he doesn't just do that in the Bible.
And he does it in everyday life.
Right. And so I'm driving down the road. All of a sudden, this billboard just comes alive, kind of, if I could say it that way. And it says, only shop at Leon's. And Leon was one of the vendors' names, so I knew exactly right then which vendor to use. That happened to be the name of a cafe that was right there at that exit, but he used that to communicate to me and help me to know what decision to make. I'll tell you, God wants to speak through so much. He's the creator. He's so amazing, and I think he's awakening our ears and our hearts to perceive what he's saying in our everyday lives.
I love that. Thank you, Mary. You know, we're going to have to step into another commercial break, but I want to continue on this topic. So actually, what does it mean to hear God? How do you hear God? And what is prayer? These are some things we're going to talk about coming up, so stay tuned.
Hello, this is Robert Whipple, author of the newly released The Big Day. I wanted to introduce to you Daniel DePinto.
Thanks, Robert. I'm a student at Texas Tech University. I want to take 60 seconds to tell you about a book that has changed my life, The Big Day. Now, this book is unlike any other book I've ever read. It combines humor and valuable insight in order to create a truly inspiring and life-changing guide to living a life that's above and beyond. I guarantee that if you read this book and study the principles taught, like I did, then you'll become a better leader of yourself and others. You will feel better physically. You'll be more disciplined, and your relationships will grow stronger. The Big Day is by Robert W. Whipple. Buy your copy on Amazon today. It will change your life.
Welcome back to The Big Day. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Welcome back to The Big Day, everyone. My name is Heather, Creative Director for The Big Day, and in the studio with me is Mary Forsyth. We are talking about combining the natural and the spiritual. And if you've been following along with us, we're talking about how the spiritual begins to break into the natural. in many ways. God does that in many ways, which is awesome. So talking about the spiritual connection and, you know, a lot of times, like for a lot of us, we start out in the natural and like we're, if we're not used to bringing in the spiritual dimension of life, like you said, like, especially in America, we're not as used to that. And so, but where do you start? You know, like how do you get from the natural to mm-hmm. the spiritual? And, you know, like, for example, like if I want to go down the street, I walk, mm-hmm. you know, and to get to your destination, you need the like appropriate means of transportation. So, but if I want to go across town, I'm going to drive. Cause I'm definitely not going to bike. Just kidding. But if I want to get to the other side of the world as quickly as possible, then I'm going to fly. And, but if you want to get, you know, if you want to come before God, what do you do? What's a natural or what's the means of transportation? And that's faith. And you know, we were talking about, living in the spiritual and in the natural, but faith is kind of where that, it's like a conduit or a connection point between the natural and the spiritual. And the more that we develop our faith, the more that we're actually able to live in the spiritual and make the most of the natural. So, you know, faith, you know, it's not just, oh, what faith are you or of what faith are you? It's not a religion. Faith is actually a substance. And faith actually comes from God and it comes from actually hearing the word of God. So when God's word begins to break out, like he did for you, like Proverbs just began to pop out at you, or the billboard, like you said, that was actually kind of a word from God. It just popped out at you. That actually sparked faith in you to say, oh, okay, God is in this, like, I'm going to go with this vendor, you know, and that's how you begin to live, in the natural, but in the spiritual and how you begin to, walk in the wisdom of God. You have to hear him, and being led by his spirit can be very practical. And we talk about this in the big day, and that's why it is one of the best personal development books, because it's not just all about the natural and it's not just all about the spiritual, but it's how to do life every day, knowing that God is involved and being involved with him. And I think that the more that we're involved with him, that the greater quality of life we're going to have, and the more personally successful we're going to be mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So, you know, some we're talking about the word of God and faith, but sometimes it's hard to hear God, mm-hmm. you know, and that's almost like a $1 million question, you know, like, how do you know you've heard from God? And, you know, I did a program overseas and we read a book called Is That Really You, God? You know, and that's one of those things is like, that's a good question. You know, like this thing popped out of me, but is that really you, God? And so, Mary, like, what would you say? Like, how did you first start to hear from God? And how would you say, like, what would you tell somebody if they said, how do you hear from God and how do you know it's really God?
You know, it's a great question. I like to start off by saying this. God rarely speaks, but he's always communicating. So a lot of times we say, well, does God speak? And when you say the word speak, you literally think of words and sounds. But if I'm standing across from you, which I'm sitting across from you right now, if I'm sitting across from you and not using any words, and I fold my hands in a very firm posture, and I put a kind of a scrowl on my face and squint my eyes.
Mary, you're not having fun today?
Oh, wow. So I could communicate without words?
I guess so.
Wow. And so if I started using hand signals and I began to use hand signals, which were indicating that I'm really asking you to stand up from the chair you're in, I would be
communicating
mm-hmm. without words. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the emoji kind of faces that we use on social media, they communicate something without words.
And I love that. I think that, you know, and I read it another place where God's words are actions. You know, mm-hmm. his speaking is not only a speaking, but a doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's a great point, because a lot of times, like, God is actually moving in our lives or doing things or orchestrating things. And it's our awareness of that that begins to transform how we see life, how we see our day, and how we make the most of it.
That's
and
true.
How we get to know him. Because if we don't even know that he's involved and he was the one that got us that promotion or he was the one that gave us that free coffee, then we're not ever going to get to know his character and say, wow, he's so good that he would actually give me a free coffee.
Right. And he expresses his nature and he mm-hmm. gives us direction. He's mm-hmm. our teacher and our comforter and our helper. And it is that awareness. So as I was talking about that you can communicate without words, a lot of us know that, well, God speaks through his word, mm-hmm. but he doesn't only communicate through his word. And so the awareness that God's in our everyday life, which combines the spiritual and the natural, and growing in the awareness of God's communication in your mm-hmm. everyday life makes it so much richer and so much more real that mm-hmm. that's how you end up living a supernaturally natural life, which is normal. That's actually normal.
It is, and it's supposed to be.
Exactly. So like the in the previous segment before the commercial, I was talking about seeing the billboard and God actually speaking or communicating to me through that billboard. And so he's going to use nature. I mean, when I was incarcerated, God's goodness and his majesty, I saw from sunsets and sunrises all the time. I connected with God's goodness with the limited amount of nature that I could encounter. Mm-hmm. But he's in our everyday midst, in our everyday circumstances. But unfortunately, many of us are like the boys on the road to Emmaus. That's a picture of two disciples after Jesus had died, walking on the road to Emmaus, talking to him, but didn't know it was him.
Yeah, because Jesus had come up. They weren't expecting someone who had died to start coming up and walking
right
next to them.
But it was him. But they didn't recognize him. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I actually pray a lot is, oh, Lord, don't let me be like the boys on the road to Emmaus, but let me know that you're interacting with me in my everyday life, in my business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some business clients right now that I've got some very important decisions to make, directional decisions. Man, I'm looking for God's direction in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And because he wants to be a part of everything that I'm doing.
Exactly. And I think that he gives us a lot of wisdom, like in a lot of ways. And that actually helps us to live by in the spiritual, but in the natural. And you know, another thing is like living in the spirit is actually very practical. And that's another point I want to hit is that, you know, where does the natural and the spirit combine is, like, for example, you're setting your schedule or you're making appointments for business or, you know, you're setting your schedule for your family and when to meet who or, you know, with the kids and everything like that. Like, one of the points that we talk about in the big day is when you're setting your schedule, you're looking at all eight areas of your life, you know, creating a blueprint of your week or your month or your year. And that's where it's really crucial, I think, to begin to hear from God and to begin to be led by the Spirit and live in the spiritual while you're creating your schedule, because he knows a lot better than you where you're going to be at and what you're going to be doing. And, you know, and if he says something like, oh, go here at this time, you know, then that's a lot better than you just coming up with it, you know, without anything or without knowing anything. So I think that that's where we begin to pray. Mm-hmm. And honestly, prayer is one of my big topics, because it's not just talking to God. You know, a lot of people say prayer is just talking to God. And yes, that's a part of it. You know, you could actually go on and say, well, prayer is talking to God and listening to God. And mm-hmm. that's a huge part of it is listening.
Very true.
But actually, prayer is your whole relationship with him. You know, it's not just what you're doing. It's actually just being with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prayer is involving him and you being involved in what he's doing and him being involved in what you're doing and, you know, going back and forth. It's really just living with him. And so when we do things based on being led by the Spirit, that's prayer, actually. When we do things that are, you know, I mean, yes, we can be talking to God and asking him questions and everything, but, you know, like, for example, living a more mentally or emotionally healthy life. This is one of the things that you brought up earlier. We had another episode, The Power of Thoughts, The Value of Feelings, where we talk about using your emotions to find out what the belief is that's driving those emotions. And that's a great way to live in the spiritual and the natural, because when you begin to involve God and like, why am I feeling this way? What is it that I'm truly believing? That's prayer.
That's true. Know? And, you know, Heather, that's a great point. And we, the Lord will show you. You were talking about time management. And one of the things that I do, in fact, I did this when I first was introduced to Robert's materials in these eight areas of life. I looked over them and I said, Holy Spirit, which area do I need to improve on? Which area?
Exactly.
And he immediately, believe it or not, highlighted hobbies. Somebody just recently gave me some new golf clubs, and I haven't used them. And I felt like the Lord began to, the minute I saw the word hobbies, I had this desire to go play golf. Does he work through desires? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I know emotions can reveal wrong beliefs, but emotions are always motivators.
Mm-hmm.
But emotions can also show you true beliefs.
It's true.
And so I had this desire to play golf. And just because I've got introduced to Robert's materials, trust me, those golf clubs aren't going to be clean in a week.
That's awesome. I love that. And then, you know, that just goes back to God wants us to have fun. You know, he really is looking to connect with us and improve our quality of life. And not just like, it's not about serving or getting burned out or doing only religious, quote unquote, things. It's like, it's really having a rich, full, fulfilling, purposeful life.
It's very true. You know, every interaction that God has with us as a relational goal.
Amen. Yeah.
It's not about more of this, less of that. It can involve that, but the underlying motive is connection for God. You know, the number one ploy of the enemy, because we've been talking about the spiritual today, right. So there is an enemy.
A spiritual enemy.
His name is the devil. He and I have mutual feelings towards one another. He hates me. I hate him. But that enemy wants to cause separation between you and God, between you and yourself, and you and other people. Mm-hmm. And God's motivation is connection with him, mm-hmm. connection with yourself. People can be disconnected from that. I was disconnected from myself before I went to prison because I hated myself. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter how good of a hair day I had. It didn't matter what kind of new outfit I had on, what brand new European sports car I was driving. Nothing could change the feeling that I had towards myself because I had separation with myself because I had self-hatred towards myself.
And would you have considered yourself emotionally or mentally healthy?
Of course, because I was deceived. I mean, because, you know, when you're thinking wrong, you don't know you're thinking wrong if you're not thinking about what you're thinking about. Did you follow me?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we say that in English? That was German. No. But, I mean, that's one of the things that the Lord actually helped me with is that because your thoughts take – if you're at a place you don't want to be, you've thought yourself there.
Yeah.
So you've got to have another thought, but you can't have another thought if you don't think about what you're thinking about.
Yeah, and we talk about that in the Big Ten too. It's like, what are you thinking about? And because we don't stop to think about that. But, you know, you were talking about that God's goal is always connection, you know, with him, with yourself, and with others. And so that really is the spiritual dimension of life. We were created to be spiritually successful, right? And it's because we're made in his image. Like we're, you know, whether we believe in the spiritual realm or not, we are spirit beings and we do affect things and things are affecting us. But the more that we're aware of God's involvement and partnering with him, in our everyday lives, the more spiritually successful we're going to be. And that really is the natural and the spiritual working together because you're not just, you know, living a spiritual life, you know. Like, for example, like, you know, I was thinking about Jesus had his disciples, right? And Jesus is doing all these crazy miracles and people's blind eyes are getting open. He's raising the dead and walking on water and who's ever done that? You know, and his disciples are looking at him and they're not saying, wow, Jesus, how are you doing all of these things? You know, what they said to him is, teach us how to pray. Because they saw that Jesus had a prayer life. He had he was aware of his Father's involvement in his life, and he was involved with the Father and the Holy Spirit and all of that. They said, teach us how to pray.
Yeah, they saw his connection.
They saw his connection. Mm-hmm. And really, that's I love that you say that because prayer is really connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how prayer, believe it or not, is unceasing,
mm-hmm.
because connection is unceasing. And sometimes we say, you know, like in the word, it says, pray without ceasing. And it's like, well, if prayer is just talking to God or if prayer is just listening to God, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. I can't talk 24/7. You know, I'm, first of all, an introvert, but even if I were a talker, you know, I couldn't talk 24/7. I mean, but how is pray without ceasing a reality? Well, it's connection,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's practicing his presence in your everyday life.
Yeah.
Inviting him in to do life with you, mm-hmm. in a way that keeps you connected. You know, one of the ways that the Lord kind of helped me in this area was I happened to be incarcerated at the time, and he I woke up that morning. I had to work in a warehouse. I made 17 cents an hour, baited rat traps, mopped warehouse floors. Yeah, and actually drove forklifts. So, you know, if anybody needs help with construction out there,
forklifts, the European sports
cars. That's right. That's right. A little bit of change of life. But before I went to the warehouse one morning, I left the prison block that I stayed in and just sat down on a bench and, you know, watched the sunrise. And I was asking the Lord, I'd been really asking the Lord to speak to me and communicate some things to me that I kept. So I went on a fast that day. I just decided, well, it wasn't really that hard to fast in prison because mystery meat took on a whole new meaning. So, you know, I was kind of fasting almost off and on for the whole time I was in prison just because of the food, but that's a different story. But I dedicated myself that day not to eat and just to really hear the Lord, just to, and when you fast, you don't force God to speak, but it calms your soul down. It actually just humbles your soul, your mind, will, and emotion, so you can maybe hear a little better. Mm-hmm. But anyway, went through that day, worked at the warehouse. You get counted five times a day, interaction with guards. I get back to my cell. I'm laying my head on the pillow, and God had not communicated anything with me at all. And I lay my head down on the pillow. Well, I guess you could call it a pillow. It was more like a bed lump. That's, again, a whole other story. So I lay my head down, and all of a sudden, in my heart, I heard, sensed, perceived the Lord say, "Wasn't the sunrise beautiful this morning?" Mm. Wow. And that dawned on me. Wow. Even when he's not, quote, manifesting his presence, he's literally with me at all times. That was a watermark for me. That changed my perception of the Lord. And I think your listeners are really longing to really know that God's with them and for them and on their side. And I think the Lord's really going to be an ever-present help in time of need and become more of a reality in their everyday lives, in their businesses, in their relationships with family, because that impacts their overall relationship with God, with themselves, and with others.
That's really good, Mary. So what would you say, you know, we're going to have to wrap up. What would you say then is your bottom line for what it means to combine the natural and the spiritual?
You know, can I give you two bottom lines?
Sure. There's two bottom lines.
One bottom line is we are all learning to live loved.
That's good.
And so that journey, if you align your will to that journey in the Lord, you will be successful, you will be free, and you will be everything that God's created you to be. And you'll experience life and life abundantly. And the second bottom line is this is all about just doing life with God.
Yeah.
You know, when you do life with God, yeah, you're going to serve him and you're going to help him and you're going to co-labor with him, but it's like a normal relationship.
Yeah.
And when you get that revelation, it changes everything.
It does. It changes everything. Well, thank you so much, Mary. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Heather.
And, you know, my bottom line is alignments. You know, look at what your alignments are. And what does it mean to combine the natural and the spirit? The spiritual is align yourself with God. Align yourself with the wisdom of God, being led by His Spirit, developing your faith, learning how to pray, you know. Learning how to stay connected with God throughout your day and in the daily activities. You're going to the grocery store, you're driving here, driving there. Learn how to connect with God and bring him into your situations, you know, whether it's business or your hobbies, you know, like, God, what golf club should I choose? You know, he wants to be involved. And, you know, and that's really where it begins, is it's actually not with us, but it's with him. And, you know, we love because he first loved us. And that's where the spiritual begins, is with him. And I just want to tell you all that, you know, he's with you today. I hope that you received a lot out of this and, you know, learning what it means to be successful spiritually, but also how that really impacts your natural life and your natural quality of life. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. Next week, we'll have Robert back in the studio. And I hope you have a good week until then.
The preceding program was furnished by The Big Day, who is responsible for its content.
Hello, this is Robert Whipple, and I wanted to introduce you to a book I have just published, which became a bestseller on Amazon shortly after it was released. The title of the book, The Big Day. Being an avid reader, I truly believe there's not another book in the marketplace like it. absolutely nowhere. What simply separates the big day is that it combines the science of winning big in your life with the application of the spiritual principles that are available for each of us. It's a step-by-step guide for creating a culture of leaders who are successful physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am convinced that this book can be a game changer in your life, no matter who you are or where you are. Simply go on Amazon and search The Big Day by Robert Whipple. I am convinced it will be one of the greatest investments you ever made in your future.
Let me introduce you to the new book, The Big Day That Can Change Your Life. If there was a hall of fame for saying ridiculous things, do you think you'd be in it? We've all had words fly out of our mouth that we wish we could take back. It never leaves us feeling good, and it doesn't seem that dealing with the aftermath is a hobby for anyone. It's a fact of life that what comes out of us is just the fruit of what's inside of us. How would you like to see your life transformed from the inside out? The truth is, you're better than you think you are. Changing your perspective of yourself will not only change the words you speak, but your actions and emotions as well. As your personal life coach, the book, The Big Day, will take you on a journey of retraining your words and, most importantly, believing in the greatness of who you're meant to be. Don't wait another day. Buy your copy of The Big Day by Robert Whipple on Amazon today.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
KLIF Dallas, KSCS FM HD2 Fort Worth,
KLIF.com,
a Cumulus station.